Greetings, flesh wound horror freaks, and welcome to our Vinegar Syndrome special. I am Flesh Wound Dan, joined by producer Todd tonight.
Good evening.
Bugs is currently at the theater, mapping to Barkley Vampires. And that
I think he's probably in his third shot by now. It's Wednesday. He saw it yesterday.
He did.
Today. He did, yeah. No, he could only be up to two by now.
That's a three-hour movie. Even if it's really, really good, I just, that's not something I can, that's a long length to rewatch it. I wasn't like, ah, Gettysburg, time to watch it again, you know?
I did it with Endgame. It's tomorrow. I'm doing The Godfather, something in between, and then Batman.
Ooh, that's a long night.
I want to get there before parking gets crazy. I may end up seeing Godfather tomorrow, or wait, today. I don't know, whatever. So
I was thinking of going. I locked in a showing for Batman, but I know I'm not going to go because I'm going to be sitting next to people, probably annoying kids. And
you got to do first showing of the, like, Friday. My Friday IMAX or Dolby show is empty. There's like three people in it. You got to go before people get off work. Go to the early show.
That's true. Well, I tried to book it early for Thursday, and it was like,
well, packed. That's different. Thursday, early Thursday is the first showing of the day.
Yeah.
That's, people are going to take off work for that, and you got all that nonsense. So your best shot is a Friday morning if you don't want people. Then if you guys are planning out your trip and you don't want to deal with people like Dan, go.
I am a delight to sit next to because I don't do any of the annoying shit. I don't talk. I don't play with my phone.
It's only bad if you're sitting behind him and his goddamn hat's in the way.
I take the hat off.
Even believe that. Don't even try.
You're take tall. You're screwed more sitting behind you than me. You're a lot taller.
I tend to sit in the back, off to the side.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So I don't know. I'll see it. I'm not seeing it opening night, obviously, because I'm here to talk Vinegar Syndrome, and these movies are there's a good chance I'm going to enjoy these movies even more.
Well, you know, one of their partner labels put out the classic Bat Pussy, so.
That is true, and Bat Pussy is way better than the Batman. I don't have to see the Batman.
I can't even
to know that Bat Pussy is way better. Adkins did a great job on that.
I'll give you, it's better than some Schumacher ones, but I don't know about all.
Definitely, that. Although there's still some bulge going on there too. That's one thing they have in common. But anyways, oh god, Bat Pussy is so good. Did we do Bat Pussy since we
definitely did with Pugs.
Since video?
That's a good question. I'll have to do some research.
That might be a watch along for the future. And hey, he pitched his Batman week to him. That's gold. All right. So anyways, on to better stuff. Our first movie of the evening is Creature from 1985 and director William Malone. And in this one, in the not-too-distant future, the crew of the spaceship Shenandoah makes an unsettling discovery after landing at an archaeological dig on the Saturn moon Titan. Another craft of German origin has already landed, but its crew appears to have vanished, except for a hot-headed captain, Hans Hofner, who seems to be hiding something about the mysterious disappearances aboard the craft. But it's not long before the truth is revealed in the form of a giant prehistoric alien which intends to eat and absorb the essences of all humans. All right. For me, growing up, it was always Forbidden World, Galaxy of Terror, and this one, Creature. Creature was a movie that I remember renting very young, seeing this movie. This one was an alien knockoff that was kind of pretty late in the game. And it's interesting with this particular movie. What happened, William Malone had a lot of success on Scared to Death, which was kind of a $74,000 low budget wonder that he did. And it was successful and put him on the map, and he had a remake script for It, the Terror Beyond Space, And it, this with the success of Alien, this kind of blended, and this is what you got. The plot for this is closer to Planet of the Vampires, which basically inspired Alien. And so initially this started out very low budget, $350,000, which for a movie like this is nothing. And ironically, he got some court people who had worked with Roger Corman involved. And as you know, big fans of Galaxy of Terror and Forbidden World, they made a lot out of very, very little on those movies. And they were able to help out on this, and the budget doubled. And yeah, so this was actually a pretty big hit. And unfortunately, for the longest time, we have had this available in very poor quality. Although the William Malone did put out his Titan Find, there you go, right there on DVD, the Titan Find Director's Cut, which finally had it more presentable. For the longest time, this was a budget DVD. Ooh, not so much on that release, is it?
It's on there, but the DVD looks better.
A lot of reviews. Is this a fucking Blu-ray?
But you know what? Here's the thing. If you don't own this and you got this, this was going to hold you over till we got the new version.
That is true. That is true. I was very excited.
But I didn't know what people thought when there was three movies on a Blu-ray.
Yeah, that was...
It was going to be Echo Bridge quality. Come on.
Suspect. But yeah, so I was kind of curious when Vinegar Syndrome announced this one. I thought, oh, awesome. Because I feel like I saw it for the first time watching this Blu-ray.
Especially the theatrical print. Oh, I was... And that's the whole thing. I was so glad... I'm not a huge fan of the other print. I mean, it's cool, but it doesn't have that. I don't know if it's the nostalgia factor of the original theatrical cut, but it is definitely a for me, it's a better film that way.
Yeah, I agree. I think, man, looking back at 2021, I don't know if there was a better restoration in terms of, I mean, this looks amazing. There's points when I'm watching it, and I think I'm watching a new movie. For the longest time, and some might argue it was a good thing, you didn't have very clear looks at the creature in this, which William Malone actually had designed his own creatures later on, but wasn't able to do that here. That was always kind of a criticism with this movie, but I actually don't think it looks that bad at all in this. I think it looks okay. And this movie's just fun. This is just a fun monster movie. And watching it now, yeah, it was really cool. I feel it's a movie I've probably watched at least a dozen times over the years. And I do feel like this was the first time I'd actually seen it. So kudos to Vinegar Syndrome on the look of this one. It's just fantastic. And how does it measure up in terms of Alien knockoffs for you? Because I'm a Forbidden World guy.
I was going to say, you mentioned two that are miles better for me.
Yeah, I agree. They are.
But if I was going to watch all three, this would definitely be my jumping off point. It's not as sleazy for me as the other two, I think, is my thing. Although you figure with who's in this one, it should be a little more. Or maybe it is a little more sleazy for other reasons, but depends who we had visiting set that week.
Klaus does have his wandering hands and in his his opening scene. So,
but yeah, no, I thought it looked great. It's great, great. I mean, if you've never seen the film, I mean, without a doubt, this is the way to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It looked great. Now, it is worth mentioning, though, the theatrical cut has a true remaster from the negative, where the other cut, I believe, was from, do you have, I don't know if you have it in front of you. Yeah. It was from a print, I believe. I don't think it was even the inner positive. I believe it was from a film print. But it still looks decent, but it doesn't look like a Vinegar Syndrome, you know, full restoration from the negative. And that's not a knock on it. It's just, I believe that's the only way that film was assembled. So either way, if you do like the other cut, it's on there. It looks way better than the DVD. or that horrible Blu-ray. And yeah, the Vinegar Syndrome. So either way, they got you covered on this one. But I'm definitely a theatrical cut guy.
Yeah, they really do. And I'd say if you're listening to this and you've never have a good triple feature. They all work. Like you said,
watch this Creature one is first.
Yeah, Creature's a good one to start off with. I mean, they're all a little sleazy. There's a lot of in Forbidden World, the uncut version, there's a lot of skin, like a ridiculous amount. But Creature's got some really good gore. You've got Klaus Kinski hamming it up. It's a really good time. And is it a great film? No. Is it a sci-fi horror masterpiece? Absolutely not. But this one is in no way inept. I've read some bad reviews of this over the years, and every time I sit down and watch it, I'm thinking, like, you know, this is actually a fine little movie. You know, you can tell it's low budget, but you can also see why William Malone went on to, you know, pretty big things, you know, House on Haunted Hill and what have you. Maybe not so much Fear.com, but nonetheless, there were some cool visuals in that.
There was,
at the very least. When are we getting that on Blu-ray from Screen Factory?
It'll happen. Yeah, that was just like a Ring ripoff. I remember that.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're a fan of sci-fi horror monster movies, this will put a smile on your face. And I highly recommend it. On the extras front, we do have, of course, as Todd mentioned, the Titan Find director's cut. We also get Finding Titan, the Making of Creature, an extended making of documentary with interviews with the cast and special effects artists. Also, Space on a Budget, an interview with the director, William Malone. Lots of good info there. And a commentary track with the Hysteria continues, always a good time as well. So for me, the movie, I am, I like this one a lot, but I'm 3.5. I'm realistic, but I do like this one a lot, and it holds a special place in my heart.
All right, good. I don't feel, I thought you were going to go a lot higher. I'm actually on par. I'm a little lower. I'm a 3. I do still have fun with it, though.
Absolutely. I'm a sucker for this kind of movie, though, yeah. Too, to be honest. So, yeah, I'm an easy mark. All right. Moving on. Yeah, but that was theft more than anything.
No. You were the easy mark.
What am I going to do when he puts me in the million-dollar dream, Todd? I mean, come on.
This is what I have to deal with.
We got to become famous enough that I can take $80 from Virgil, or $100, because I paid.
Damn it! Just say 20 when you tell this story in the future.
Anyways, enough of Curly Jesus. Bill. Let's move on.
Please.
Next film, which is from director Russell Mulcahy and is from 1999, Resurrection. In this one, jaded homicide detective John Prudhomme has been put on, shouldn't know how to say, I'm a big fan of this movie and I don't know how to say his last name. John Prudhomme has been put on the case of a ruthless killer who is hunting the city of Chicago, leaving a trail of horribly mutilated and dismembered corpses, all of which are missing at least one body part, along with perversely ironic biblical quotes. After the unexpected arrival of a neurotic FBI agent named Hollinsworth, who believes he might know the identity of the assailant, the two men join forces to catch a cunning psychopath who all too conveniently seems to be a step ahead. All right. So, obviously, we had a lot of knockoffs in the wake of Seven. That movie was really kind of a game changer for me. Probably around that time, maybe a little before, but really heavily around that time, I really started to become aware of serial killers and true crime, which has been a passion really ever since. And seeing that in the theater, again, being younger at the time, Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, I wasn't really expecting it to hit as hard. And of course, it wouldn't hit as hard today. But sitting in the theater, I remember when that
I don't know. There's a certain guy that's a little extra creepy now.
That is true. The villain, did become kind of a real villain. But when that body pops up, I remember in the theater, like, there's no, is this a zombie movie? What the hell? There's no way he's still alive. That was like, I mean, I think I actually like threw my drink in the air when that happened, because it was just like, oh shit. And I remember seeing it with my dad, who's not a horror guy at all, and like, even he was, you know, like, this isn't quite what I was expecting. I was kind of expecting a cop whodunit movie. And so anyways, but lots and lots of knockoffs, mostly, you know, a lot of theatrical, some direct to video. I actually think Resurrection's better than most, if not all, of the knockoffs around that wave. Because
what are some other ones off the top of your head? Can you think of? I don't. Oh, I'm trying to think.
You had like Kiss the Girls.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of films that just sort of tried to mimic that Fincher aesthetic.
I was thinking more in the lower budget, actually, when I asked.
Oh, sure. You had like Hangman, that was a Lou Diamond Phillips one. I might not have the exact title, but Mario Van Peebles was in one. I think it was like Blowback or something. Insert B movie star. Like, several of them had like their seven knockoff, and it's actually shit. You could probably do a show on them. But Resurrection really stood head and shoulders for me. I'm a big fan of Highlander, so I'm a big Christoph Lambert fan. And so I'm pretty much in when he does a movie. And speaking of Seven, we have Leyland Orser in this, who is probably one of the more underrated character actors of his generation. If you remember in Seven, he was the guy with the razor laced dildo. Just a couple minutes of screen time, and you don't forget Leyland Orser in that. Is this a Seven knockoff? I mean, yeah, definitely some similarities in the story for sure. One wouldn't exist without the other, but I do think it kind of transcends that. Not to give away the villain, but I will say the villain, the actor that plays the villain in this, is very, very good, very creepy. The whole body of Christ thing was really grisly and nasty and satisfying to my inner gore hound. Lambert, I always thought was really underrated. He kind of, you know, more known for his action stuff, but he's actually a really good actor as well. And he actually had wrote this with Brad Mirman, who also worked with him on Highlander, The Final Dimension, Night Moves, Gideon, which is kind of a lost to time VHS only drama that Christoph did, worth a watch if you can find it. And man, we even get David Cronenberg in a very rare acting role as a priest, which also makes it worthwhile. Sadly, this one kind of failed to secure a U.S. Release theatrically because of the producers, and it did see some theatrical play overseas, and I kind of hope that this Blu-ray brings this to a larger audience and people start taking a look at it again, because I still remember picking it up in 99 and falling in love with it. And if you're a fan of serial killer stories, that certainly brings the gore. There's some grisly stuff in here. You will be in heaven. I think this one is really, really awesome. And Toronto doubles for Chicago.
It's about normal.
Yeah, Toronto always doubles Seattle. So you might recognize some Canadian talent in this. You know, you watch a lot of movies when you can, you know, just side actors and you just kind of know.
Right.
What did you think of Resurrection, Todd? Was this did you watch it back in the day or did this one slip past you?
I actually got it recently on an import blue to watch it for the first time.
Oh, bad timing.
Well, I've had it for a while. Yeah, so I was super excited when Vinegar Syndrome decided to put it out. Mm-hmm. I do prefer Seven still. But I think, I mean, the gore stands out on this one very, you know, compared, I don't know, Seven was kind of had some good stuff too. I don't know. They're very comparable films, and I think if you like one, you're going to like the other. I know Pugs is going to have to check this one out because he's a big Seven guy.
Yeah, there's some pretty tense moments with the baby on the roof and, you know, the race to make it to the evidence and everything. I just thought this was an excellent film. I really do. I'm a really big mark for this one and highly, highly recommend it. It's just one of those movies that just sadly never got its due. And I really hope people check it out because it's really entertaining. And if you're a fan of this sort of thing, move it towards the top of your list. Because I do think it's probably the best of that wave, at least from what I can remember. Certainly that post 90s wave of Seven knockoffs. I think this really got everything right. And that scene where he goes into his house thinking, let's just say something might have happened and everything. I thought this movie was really powerful and it's held up. It hasn't lost anything for me. So before we rate it, just to run down the extras, we get a cathartic experience, an interview with the director. Always really awesome hearing from Russell, who so many great movie memories, Razorback and lots of Highlander, lots of good stuff. Terrifying or hilarious, an interview with actor Robert Joy. On the same page, an interview with actor Jonathan Potts. Over the top, an interview with composer Jim McGrath. Lots of great info, great Blu-ray, highly recommended. I give the movie, for this one, I got to go 4.5. I think it's an excellent film, and you should all check it out.
I'm right with you. I'm a 4. But yeah, definitely worth watching.
Absolutely. All right. So our main event of the evening is a 1989 film from director Somtow Sukarictul. And I know I'm butchering that name, but you may recognize him as author S.M. Somtow, who used to be the president of the Horror Writers Association. And but before I get into all that, in this one, 1989 film, a busload of travelers and their guide on the hunt for Aztec ruins decide to stop in an all but forgotten to time Mexican village on the eve of Day of the Dead. The tour leader, a disgraced priest, is enlisted by a local doctor to perform what he believes to be an exorcism, but in actuality, the doctor is using him to begin a diabolical ritual intended to bring about hell on earth. All right, Laughing Dead. This is kind of almost like an Asian black magic style movie blended with Mayan folklore. Really unusual. The first half or so is admittedly a little bit slow, but then when that John Carl Beekler effects start to kick in, the last half is pretty grisly, pretty gory. There's a really cool moment where someone is decapitated and the head flies out a window into basketball hoop. And what I thought was really cool about this A lot of the actors are actually, in fact, authors. The late Edward Bryant, who's a really popular, rest in peace, he had passed away a while ago, plays like the bus driver, and Tim Sullivan, the star, also a writer. Wendy Webb, who's actually the daughter of Sharon Webb, who's an author. Whole lot of that going on. Somtow's niece is being sacrificed in the opening scene. One thing about this movie, this is another one that had really poor distribution, so I feel like a lot of people will be seeing it for the first time. With
kind of a theme tonight.
yeah kind of a theme. I mean, a lot of people, Resurrection, a lot of people saw it because it was, you know, on video, but
right, yeah that's
you yeah. know, but unfortunately it screwed up its theatrical run. This one is one for the gore hounds. The creepy demon child bursting out of the mom, and the decapitation scene that I mentioned. Lots of cool gags. This did have some issues, though. Somtow really wasn't the first director. The original director, Wendy Ikaguchi, kind of had a clash over tones while she was kind of pushing for a more family-oriented movie. There was some clashing, and it ended up being multiple people who more or less directed the movie. But nonetheless, Somtow kind of got the final credit. Even more talent, underground director Ron Ford. He was a driver on the movie. There's some... certainly some up and down acting in this. There's a lot that you can kind of pick at, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was cheesy, unique. You know, Forrest J. Ackerman appears as one of the zombies. It's not a good movie per se, but it is fun. And, you know, 1989, I thought this was a good time, you know, kind of starting that horror drought. And I think it would have been maybe a little more, had a little more cult appeal, had more people had seen it. An interesting note, they actually shot on at Old Tucson on the same set that Three Amigos had just recently wrapped on. And I have a good time with this. Unfortunately, in America, the distribution, they pretty much just sat on the film. So what did you think, Todd, when you finally got to check this out?
I don't think I love it as much as you. I think it's an entertaining little flick. I don't really have a nostalgia for it. I don't know. It reminds me of some other films I can't place, but like...
It's a good double with Spookies, actually, is what I always thought with this one.
And another one that's going to have some issues.
Yeah, has its problems, but a fun movie.
Yeah, I do think I do definitely still like Spookies. It's one of those, though. I think if you like weird or, you know, some strange B movies, I think this one will definitely be right up your alley.
Absolutely. If you don't mind some so-so acting as well, it's definitely not perfect. I just have a good time with this one. And I hope more people get to check it out. It really is a fun time. And like I said, slow first half, but then you get a lot of crazy special effects. I thought the hand down the throat and then the fingers sort of pulsating on the skin, I thought that was really cool. I think it's a creative movie. Looking at it, I can't guarantee everybody's going to like it, but if you get past the first 40 minutes or so, I think it does become quite a good time. And I certainly don't regret picking it up.
And that's a lot of ass, though, from some people. You got to make it that far in.
That is true. That is true. That's why I'm more realistic with my rating. But nonetheless, I still give this one a recommendation. For sure. Before we get into our rating of it, this one also has a commentary track with the director. You should also check out some of Somtow's novels. He's a really good writer. We also have Unholy Assembly, Crafting the Laughing Dead, an extended making of documentary with the director, producer, actors, actresses, cinematographer. This is a very well done making of that gives you lots of information. You can tell people had a good time on this movie, and you know that kind of often comes through and adds to your personal enjoyment of the film. And I Vinegar Syndrome did another excellent job on this Blu-ray. So I'm going to give this a 3, but it's I do think it is above average for sure, especially once you get past that first 40 minutes or so. And that's not to say the first half is bad. It's just, you know, it's a little slower and might not grab you right away. What say you, Todd?
I've been going back and forth. I'm settling on the, I'm a 2.5.
Okay, cool, cool.
I was going back and forth, but if I factor into my enjoyment level and then I got to go 2.5. And that's not saying I don't think you should check it out either.
Oh, no, absolutely. I do think that was a particularly cool decapitation scene in this one. The guy sold it very well. All right. So I think that's all we have for you right now. Be sure to check out our Patreon. We have a ton of new content up there. Patreon.com/FleshWoundFeatures.
Check out our Studio 666 review from earlier this week.
Yes. Check that out. Also our non-canon Texas Chainsaw Massacre stuff, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. That was a really fun show.
And if you haven't watched the Chainsaw show, go check that one out too, the franchise show. That was a really nice one. You might want to clear your schedule. It is a longer one, but it is well worth it.
It is a longer one. We also kind of show off some of our Texas Chainsaw Massacre collectibles and memorabilia at the end. So, yeah,
that when was we get really to the time. Trauma one, it'll be twice as long.
Really? Even more so? For you, probably. I mean, I don't have a ton of Trauma merch, per se. I mean, I've got plenty of Trauma movies, but
I got to find my well, no, I'll save it.
All right. I think that's all we got for you. Be sure to hit that thumbs up, share on social media. That also really helps grow the channel. And we will see you next time, guys.
All right. Good night.
Good night.